I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He loves them like any relationship that you love people. There's going to be bumps in the road. That's human. You know, that's being a human. So, no, I think that it was just genuine concern. Klay Thompson is probably about as likable of a guy, I think, as you'll find around the league. And, you know, kind of an unassuming superstar. And I think his teammates not only enjoy him as a human and a professional, but they also appreciate and respect his accountability and the way that the dude just shows up and, you know, empties that tank every time. We lose sight of what Klay Thompson does defensively a lot. You watch a game, Coz, especially when you go there in person, you see it, how much Klay's moving, right? And, you know, just to get those open looks on the offensive end. He's just constantly circling like a shark trying to get those looks. Same thing defensively. He just hounds guys. Like, he's the best on-ball two-way, two-guard in the NBA. I mean, he's all time. And to see him sustain that injury the way he was already playing hurt and just he was having the game of his life in Game 6, I think there's no way the Warriors lose that game if Klay Thompson doesn't get hurt. And then to come back and shoot the free throws the way he did, knowing that there's a, you know, a chance that it wasn't as serious of a knee injury, so he might be able to come back in the game, like, yeah, I'm in. I mean, you heard the quote he said to Steve Kerr? I just need a couple of minutes. The guy's got a torn ACL. I just need a couple of minutes, and I'll be back. I'll be right back. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, who couldn't appreciate a guy like that? Not to mention all the great memories and championship level play that he's provided for the fan base over the years. So I think it was concern for a teammate and a friend.
All righty. So there's a lot of layers here. I'm looking at the Warrior roster. Guys under contract. Steph has $40 million coming next year. Draymond has $18 million coming next year. But next year is his last year under the deal. You've got Andre's got $17 million coming his way. Sean Livingston has $7.6 million coming his way, but it's not all guaranteed. If he decides to walk away, he would get a partial, you know, he would get a piece of that stuff. So let me just make sure I'm getting this right.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm right on that.
$2 million is guaranteed on Livingston's contract. They cut him. Yeah. So okay. They would take a $2 million cap hit, and that's it. And I think, as far as Sean Livingston's concerned, I think Livingston's probably leaning towards retirement at this point. It's been a good run, but I don't know that he's necessarily going to be part of the solution next season. And they're going to need guys that can play a lot of minutes, and I don't think that's what Sean Livingston is right now.
Jacob Evans has 1.9 coming his way. Damian Jones has 2.3 coming his way. And McKinney has a part of 1.5 coming his way. Is that right? I don't know what the buyout is in that.
Yeah, it's not much.
Yeah, okay. So those are the guys who have a layer of contract. Durant has his player option. Most assume that something different will happen other than the player option. Klay Thompson, is he a Warrior next year?
I think Klay Thompson is going to be a Warrior for life.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
that's
at
fair
least
enough.
For, you know, I think they're going to offer him a max contract. I don't see, this is how I see it playing out, Coz. Klay Thompson is going to sign a max contract. They're going to bite the bullet in 2019, 2020, let him rehab. Now, you heard from Mark Medina. I mean, the ACL, we could see Klay back as soon as, you know, January, February. And if there's any guy, Coz, that you would predict to exceed the trajectory for an ACL rehab, Klay Thompson kind of strikes me as that kind of guy, right? I mean, just everything I've ever seen from Klay Thompson would lead me to believe that he's going to be back. I would err on the sooner than later side of that conversation. So at some point in 2020, Klay Thompson will be back in the fold. So I think, to me, that's a no-brainer.
Okay.
The KD thing is a little trickier. You know, KD's options really are, okay, hit your player option for next year, just opt in, get your $31 million, and then reassess, right? Go through your rehab here with the Golden State doctors and then reassess.
If you trust them.
Right.
Because there's that storyline, too, that maybe, you know, clearing him to play, it's eventually the player's decision. Is it eventually the player's decision? So there is a layer to that.
100%.
Yeah. But go ahead.
Yeah, that's only, you know, only Kevin Durant knows how he feels about that,
exactly.
Right?
And
I don't even want to speculate. I can only assume that based on everything that I've heard is that, you know, the Warriors staff, their training staff is widely regarded as one of the best in the business. So I'll give them that tip of the cap. But, you know, KD could either hit his player option and rehab and then reassess next year. Or he can, you know, I think teams are still going to be knocking down his door and begging for the opportunity to throw a supermax at him, like to give him, you know, whatever, or a max contract. I know they can't give him the supermax, only the Warriors can, but to give him a max contract, even to rehab for a season. So if he goes that route, which I think most people feel like he probably will, then you wish him well, right? I mean, but I think what this does is it does open the door. His injury does open the door towards him coming back to the Golden State Warriors, and I'll tell you why. Because the Warriors can offer him another year, okay? They can offer him more money than anybody else. And let's keep in mind, Kevin Durant's going to be 31 in the fall, okay? Mm-hmm. So he'll be, you know, on the back nine of his career, right?
Yep.
The Warriors can offer him that extra year. They can offer him more money. He can make $40 million next year to rehab an Achilles injury. And then when he comes back, guess what, Coz? He's the conquering hero. Based on what he did in the NBA Finals, coming back the way he did, laying it on the line the way he did, I don't think that there's a Warriors fan out there, and I don't know why anybody would ever second-guess this guy in the first place, but you talk about equity with the fan base and the organization, Kevin Durant has that in spades now. So he comes back, even if he, you know, takes the team back to an NBA Finals, even if they don't ever win another title, like, the guy has got clout for days now with this fan base and with, you know, the uncertainty with his future, with his injury, and how much, you know, would he have another contract after this? I just think security-wise, you know, the safe play is to stick with the Golden State Warriors.
All right, on Kevin Durant, he's got a new Nike shirt out. Have you seen this?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to explain it when we continue, okay? Because someone from the 510 has hipped me to this, and it's pretty cool. And there's something that's kind of unique in the shirt, okay? It lists all the cities he's played in. I'm going to get to that in just a second. And it's going to be intriguing for those of you who want to build a case for where Kevin Durant will go next. Covey and Cozumel together until 12 noon today on a Father's Day, enjoying ourselves so much. I might stick around for Urban after that.
I think he would love to have you.
Because who wouldn't want to work more on Father's Day?
You go 8 hours today?
I might go an eight full. I'm going 8-4.
That would be legendary. That'd be all time.
It would be. The only thing is, I've got to go to Allbirds because I'm thinking of getting myself some new Allbirds shoes.
Okay.
I've never had them. I've heard they're really cool.
All right.
And next door, I just found out there's a Shinola store. And I love the Shinola watches.
Okay.
It's Father's Day. Why
so,
not?
To get you some kicks and the Shinola?
Exactly. I'm not even going to see my family today.
Why not?
So, Jimmy being Jimmy.
Jimmy on Jimmy?
Yeah.
Porn star Jimmy?
Exactly. And I even brought my Giants press pass. I thought, maybe I'll take you in a couple innings over at the Yard today.
Look at this guy.
I know.
It's Father's Day. You do whatever you want.
Exactly. It's
my
day.
Who needs to see your kids?
Nobody. You know, evidently everyone but me needs to.
Right.
Covey and Cozumel, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Dang, I'm working with a gangsta over here.
Settle down.
Dude is way, he has outkicked his coverage like you wouldn't believe, people.
Settle down.
Oh my goodness. I mean, this guy is Ray Guy.
Just doing it. Thunderbolts.
Yeah, it's just thunderbolts. Covey somehow... Is she blind? Is she... What does it matter?
Come on, man.
Come on, Covey.
Have you seen what I'm working with over here?
Covey, come on. He just showed me a picture of his woman. Wow.
Wow. Really? Just going to put it out there, huh?
New respect, Covey.
Put it out there
for
everybody?
New respect.
Coz, don't make me open up the Rolodex.
That is solid. You have done well. You know?
It's all good. I'm doing my thing.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
All right. We welcome you in.
Living that life.
Yep. And she's... And by the way, she's got a good background, too. Right?
Yeah.
She's not looking at you as sugar daddy.
No. Well, if she is.
She's like, hotter than you, and she's your sugar mama.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Check.
Why don't you just go play the lottery? You're winning everything.
Because, you know, you carry yourself a certain way. You treat people with love and respect.
There you
go.
Put
out that vibe. You know what I say, Coz? Give love, get love. Right? You exude love for people, and it comes back to you.
I like it. Way to go. That's Ryan Covey. I'm Jim Cozumel. Together until 12 noon today here on a Father's Day. We hope you're having a great one. I mentioned this Kevin Durant. There's a T-shirt out. There's a new KD T-shirt out. And on the T-shirt, it says, stay true. Easy buckets, right? Easy money sniper. And it's got the KD with his face on it. And on the back, it's got all of the cities he's played in. Okay?
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm familiar, but I'll play along. Yes.
All right. So, starts with Fort Washington, mouth of Wilson, Rockville. That's his high school life. Because didn't he travel around a little bit? Didn't he have a couple of different high schools and all that business?
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't get you in trouble with my creed, didn't I? Did I?
You're fine.
I saw you checking your phone there. I thought
it's cool, man.
Okay.
It's totally cool.
Okay. Then he goes to college in Austin. Totally outkicked his coverage.
That's good.
Then he gets drafted by Seattle. Remember, Portland had the number one overall pick. They took Greg Oden. The Sonics had to settle for KD.
How'd that work out?
I know.
That Oden pick.
He played there 1 year. They moved to Oklahoma City. That's on the shirt.
Okay.
Then he signs with the Golden State Warriors. And there was a time when people didn't know where Golden State was. They were the Golden State Warriors. And you would go on the road and people would say, Golden State, where is that?
Right. Where, is that a city?
Yeah. You didn't know what that was.
Is that near like Yuba City?
Exactly.
Is that outside of Fresno?
Some people didn't even know it was California. That's Oakland. Then there's Oakland. And you'd think that would be the last city on the shirt, wouldn't you? There's one other city, isn't there?
Yeah.
San Francisco.
Wow. A t-shirt.
Your thoughts?
I mean, he's under contract with the Golden State Warriors right
now. But they're not playing there. It's all the places he's played.
Yeah, because it's coming. Look, they're trying to move some t-shirts.
Are you telling me that that's the ultimate deal? Do we got our guy? We got our guy. Oh, this is going to be huge. All righty, we got Bobby Marks here. He does great work over at ESPN. He is their NBA front office insider. This guy has really done some good things in breaking down the Anthony Davis trade with the Los Angeles Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans. We welcome in Bobby Marks. I'm Jim Cozumore, across the table from Ryan Covey. Happy Father's Day, Bobby, and thank you very much for joining us here on a special Father's Day edition.
I appreciate it, guys. Hope you guys are good. Thanks.
We're doing really well. All right, your initial... I would like to get your initial breakdown, but just your initial thoughts. When you heard the deal that went down, Bobby, and your initial, you know, oh, they're going to get three first-rounders, they're going to get these players, what were your thoughts at that time?
Well, my initial thought was that how do I pay for the chicken quesadilla that I just was eating and try to run out of this, you know, I'm up here in Bristol, and yesterday was a dead day, right? There was nothing going on. It was really just the U.S. Open. And I figured I can leave campus for a couple hours, and then at like 5 o'clock, all of a sudden, boom. So, yeah, it got a little hectic. My initial thought was I wasn't surprised, because I think when you look at where New Orleans was with Davis and the ability to try to get that fourth pick in the draft before the June 20th draft. And give themselves, you know, 4 or 5 days to either look to move it for another player or draft picks, or maybe even keep that pick and try to bring in some players, draft prospects in the next, you know, 4 or 5 days, or maybe just dive into the background. I was not surprised in that aspect. I think I was probably, certainly surprised with the pick compensation that went out to the Pelicans from Los Angeles. It seemed like it increased by the hour. And by 1 o'clock last night, we finally got some more, finality to it. So, I mean, I think a lot of it we'll have to do now is what the Lakers do with, the cap space that they'll have. It's either going to be $23 million or, $32 million. Because that, you guys see that roster right now, and you basically have Anthony Davis and LeBron James and, Kyle Kuzma, and there are a lot of holes there to fill.
Yeah, and talk about, Bobby, the timing of the trade and how it applies to their remaining cap space, the fluctuation between 23 and 31, where do you see him using that?
Yeah, so it's a little complicated, so I'll try to give you the English version of it.
Thank you.
You know, they've got $32.5 million in cap space after they renounce all their free agents to use starting on July 6th, and that's good enough for a max player like Kyrie Irving or Kemba Walker, Kawhi Leonard, players that kind of fit in that mold. Because the likelihood is that the trade is going to be completed on the 6th of July, that cap space is going to shrink down to likely $23.7 million, because Davis has a trade bonus in his contract. The indication is that he will not waive the bonus, and that will come on the cap for Los Angeles. If there was an agreement in place, and I think this is kind of maybe where the Lakers maybe missed the ball, dropped the ball a little bit as far as not agreeing to this. If New Orleans had waited, or both sides had waited until July 30th to do a deal, They technically could have used that fourth pick in the draft as a cap filler to make the money work within 125%. So that's kind of where we're looking a little bit at timing of it, and that's kind of where things are right now.
You know, that's interesting. Bobby Marks joining us. He does a great job as the NBA front office insider for ESPN. He's joining us. Get him on Twitter, at BobbyMarks42. He's joining us on the Dial Pad guest line. The timeline and the dating that you're giving us, Bobby, and I want to make sure that we're all understanding of this. So if they somehow had waited to trigger this later in July, the number would have changed for the Lakers, maybe in their favor, to do more damage financially, to maybe go out and get somebody. But would it have helped them to have to wait that long? I believe you said July 30th. Wouldn't most of the free agents had made their decision by then?
Well, if they had an agreement in place with a player like Kyrie Irving, then Kyrie Irving will certainly wait until the trade is finalized. So I think where it gets a little bit confusing is if they were going to split that money amongst three different players, right? So if you're going to try to go get JJ Redick or Danny Green or Brooke Lopez. Does all of a sudden that the $10 million offer gets increased a little bit from another team, and that gives a three week window for those players to kind of change their mind. So I think it would have to be some cooperation with the players that they are targeting. It's a pretty fluid situation. But as you said, the all indication right now is that he will not waive the trade bonus and that this deal gets done on July 6th, and then that money shrinks about $9 million. Mm.
More likely suitor for the LA Lakers, you think, Bobby, Kyrie Irving or Kemba Walker?
Well, if I was the Lakers, it would be neither. It really would. I wouldn't go big three. I wouldn't. And I think where you see their bench, there's holes everywhere, right? There's no point guard. There's no shooting on this roster. As far as from your wings, you got no wing defenders. I mean, I would try to go out and split that money up amongst a couple players, and I think that's where it hurts you could have got a player in that $9 million range here, and it's not like you can go out and create more room, unless you want to move Kuzma and Mo Wagner and players like that. So, yeah, I mean, if I was recommending the Lakers, I would probably target, just try to, fill out players. I think Toronto kind of proved it, that you don't need to go top heavy with three main players here and try to fill out some role players that have an identity.
How likely is it in the NBA? And we've seen the Warriors maybe get this a couple of times. How likely is it there will be a veteran who's willing to not take the maximum they get in order to give themselves a chance at a ring? Maybe a guy who has chased the ring, and I don't mean that in the negative sense, because I don't think there's anything wrong with a guy making a financial decision on his part to take less money to give him a better chance for a ring. But how likely is it with what the Lakers have put together, they might be in the market to get a guy at a lesser number because they feel they can get that ring?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen history has proved that, we saw David West a couple years ago or 3 or 4 years ago go from San Antonio to Golden State and gave up a lot of money on the table here. I don't see like a player like Kemba Walker, doing that because, he's coming off a 4-year, $48 million contract, which was below average, below the marketplace. I don't see him coming in at a $23 million salary here. Where he can sign with Charlotte for 5 years, $190 million, or 5 years, $221 million. So I think it's just a matter of where guys are at a point in their life here. Is it JJ Redick who's gotten two big numbers the last couple of years? Is he willing to come in at a little bit of a discount, maybe get some length onto his contract?
Let me ask you this. We saw what Toronto did, Masai Ujiri going out and, getting Kawhi Leonard, and obviously that worked out. And, I guess only time will tell if we see more of that GMs, rolling the dice on a player on a 1-year contract. The Anthony Davis thing is obviously unique to the Lakers because I think we all kind of understand that Davis wants to sign there long term anyway. But Kawhi Leonard, I mean, this guy could reasonably, feasibly be one and done in Toronto. I mean, what's the likelihood of that happening now? It seems odd that a player could, do what Kawhi Leonard did for Toronto, one season, win a title, and then roll out. But, that could be where we're at, Bobby.
Well, you're right. I mean, I think if you're lining up teams, Toronto and everyone else based on basketball-related reasons only, I think, certainly Toronto stands out based on this whole team returning, We don't know what happened with Danny Green, but with Ibaka and Lowry and Marcus Gasol, and now you have Pascal Siakam, all under contract. Van Vliet's under contract. Norman Powell's under contract. Yeah, and especially that you've got that comfort level with that training staff. I think it's hard for teams like Los Angeles, the Clippers, or the Lakers to sell this on Kawhi Leonard in a 3-hour meeting. You know, you're kind of going a little bit of the unknown, but. If it is the Clippers, I'm sure that it's a lot of it has to do about kind of going home, the comfort level. This is probably his last big contract here. He's already won two championships. He's won two finals MVP here, and he's figured that he's accomplished everything, and now it's on to another challenge here. Yeah, but it would be interesting. I don't know if we have seen it. Certainly LeBron switched teams, but, that was after, winning a championship and then kind of falling short, for a couple times.
Bobby Marks joining us. He does great work as the NBA front office insider over at ESPN, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I'm going to turn the conversation on the Warriors side. I don't want to throw you a curveball on this one because I don't know if you have your charts and graphs in front of you. But there's
I think I've memorized Golden State by now. I think I have like max or tax numbers like going through my mind when I'm sleeping at
Now that's funny. And Ryan, help me with this because we were talking about a $9 million exception in there with Kevin Durant.
The disabled player exception for KD.
Can you explain how the disabled player thing works? Because you've got there could be Clay who's disabled, and there could be KD who re-signs who's disabled. How does that work?
Yeah, so basically, what the Warriors would have to do with if Durant returns, or certainly with Clay, I think Clay's might be a little bit different because his timing might be back sooner than KD. That they would have to file an application with the NBA that Kevin Durant will be out for the entire season. If it's granted, and when I say the entire season, it's not April 10th, it's June 15th. They use that date as an indicator when the finals will end. They will have to determine if Kevin will be out for the whole entire season. If he is out and they grant it to him, they'll be rewarded a $9.2 million disabled player exception that you can use in a couple of different ways. You can go out and sign a free agent. You can acquire a player in a trade, but it has to be a player on a one-year contract. So it's a little bit different. The finances is through the roof. I think it cost you like an extra $60 million to go out and do that. If Durant, let's say, comes back in March or April, it's not like you have to waive that player. So it's just that Kevin made it a little bit of a speedier recovery than you had thought. I think it might be a little bit more of a challenge with Clay because the timing might be, you might be looking at March or April, but it's an independent doctor that determines, if it's awarded.
Bobby, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago on these very airwaves about the number of free agents this offseason and, more than like half the NBA is free agents. It's going to be a busy summer. Now, since we've talked, the Golden State Warriors have two of their top players that are going to be injured now for the foreseeable future, and Anthony Davis is a member of the LA Lakers. Based on all the uncertainty in the Western Conference, based on all the level of free agents, would you expect there to also be a lot of trade activity, i.e., teams, realizing that, hey, the door's open now. I mean, the West is open, the NBA's open, and this is a chance for some of those teams, like the Portland Trailblazers or the Denver Nuggets, even teams like the Sixers or the Celtics that, are right there but haven't quite punched through, a chance to maybe get a little bold this offseason and try and think outside of the box in order to put themselves in position to win a title?
Well, I think you saw certainly the Lakers took that approach yesterday. I feel like that was certainly an aggressive move based on, I think what happened in the finals certainly played into it with both guys getting injured and them kind of realizing this is the window, but the only way we can go out and get an Anthony Davis is give up, a lot of players and draft assets. I think it's a little bit different. I think if you're Houston, I think maybe you pull back. We had talked about that roster being basically for sale except for Harden a couple weeks ago. I don't think there's a necessity to go out and make major moves. I think that Houston team as is, can certainly challenge to get to an NBA Finals if they can kind of patch that bench together. And, I think every team is different. If you're looking at Denver say, we're pretty content where we are. We've got the starting lineup returning. We've got Michael Porter, who was your draft pick last year. It's hard to make trades without basically kind of tinkering with your roster to get an upgrade. If you're looking to try to move a CJ McCollum, there's not many players out there that can kind of equal value. So I think that's why I think that's why you saw the Lakers take, you know, jump on, you know, the ability to kind of go out and get Anthony Davis.
Bobby, I'm gonna keep coming back to the Warriors on this one, and I guess it's kind of related to what the Lakers did and how they jumped in with both feet to go after Anthony Davis, and now they're going to put pieces around LeBron and Anthony Davis. But for the Warriors, just how difficult is it going to be to construct a roster that is competitive to the point where they're a playoff team? And you know, you're going into a new building. That's a different financial structure. They've got a lot at stake in this offseason. So how difficult will it be for the Warriors to be proactive to remain relevant?
Yeah, I mean, it puts a lot of pressure on your front office, right? I mean, it as far as what you were able to do, knowing that you will not have Clay and Kevin and basically the team that we saw in Game 3 without Clay, and then the end of Game 6 is where you're going to be, and that's, you know, we're not even, you know, we'll take DeMarcus Cousins out of the equation and, you know, Quinn Cook and Jarepko, Jordan Bell, but those are, you know, you're basically looking at minimums, you're looking at your first-round pick, you know, at the end of the first round this year, you have a second round pick, that, and your first round pick from last year. Like, you've got to go, you know, I think it can be done, but you're going to need some creativity from your front office and players to kind of take some sacrifices to come here, free agents, and play for the minimum and not get into a situation that we saw, you know, in the finals when your depth was really, you know, exposed here. So, yeah, I mean, this is probably the most uncertain, you know, time for Golden State, including 16 when they went after Durant, because at least you knew like Clay was healthy and, you know, that, you know, you had Durant coming here and in the last 2 years, you didn't have to worry about that. But yeah, it's an important draft on Thursday. I think if you're looking at Golden State, you look at, is there an opportunity for us to take that, I think it's 28, I want to say, 28 and move it back to 33 and 34, where Philadelphia is. So now you get two young players here, and that helps, and it helps you financially here. And I think those are little ways to go out and do that, but you're going to have to rely on that scouting department certainly a lot here.
Yeah, backfilling that roster with young players, controllable, not making a lot of money. That's where they're at. Hey, a quick Warriors question for you about Kevin Durant. Now, we know he's got the player option for, what, $31 million this season. He could definitely exercise that option, rehab on that dime, and then reassess, you know, at this next upcoming offseason. Based on his injury, do you think this will maybe shorten up the list of teams that'll come down his road and offer him a max contract? I mean, basically, you know, if you're another team, you're going to have to pay him. You know, if you offer him the max now, you're going to have to pay him for a year of no service. And then who knows what you get post-Achilles. Would you expect the Kevin Durant market to still be that active based on where he's at right now?
Yeah, I do. I think it will be active. I think that was the early indication after he suffered that injury on you know, in Game 5, and, you know, I called around to a bunch of teams, and it was unanimous that, you know, team that Durant will have a market, you know, for that 4 years, 164. And I think how teams are approaching it is that it is the rare ability to assign a top, you know, three talent in the NBA. Although he'll have a year off, you know, with the injury, that you'll have him for 3 out of 4 years. And I think teams are looking at certainly what the free agent market for 2020 is going to be. And when you look at, you know, Anthony Davis likely off the board right now, you have Draymond, you have DeMar DeRozan, players like that. It's not as strong as, you know, as this summer here. And if you're New York or if you're Brooklyn, I think that's the risk that you have to take to go out and get a Durant.
I feel bad for Bobby Marks because I don't want to let him go. I just have more questions. And that's, I know you've got you probably, what is it, lunchtime by you now? You got to order some lunch. You got to go to the
we still got to pay for that quesadilla, too.
Yeah, I know. We still got to pay. They're chasing you down on the quesadilla. Is there a market for DeMarcus Cousins?
Not as much as I think people think. And I think it'll be more than the $5 million and change tax mid-level. But I don't, I mean, I still think he's in that probably the full mid-level, which is 9.2. I would be stunned if there is a 4-year, $60 million offer out there for him. And I think maybe he's kind of that guy that signed the one, like what Redick did, that 1-year, you know, $14, $15 million deal. But that depends on what, you know, after the dust settles with all these free agents. So, yeah, I think, you know, the day that DeMarcus Cousins gets a max contract, I think we're long gone. I think he's probably going to have to look at if taking a short-term deal again, or maybe there's a team out there that he can get 4 years, $36 million for.
Then this is going to be a weird follow-up. who gets a better offer in the offseason, DeMarcus Cousins or Willie Cauley-Stein?
Well, I think Cauley-Stein is interesting because of the restricted tag. And I'm always conservative when players are restricted free agents because, you know, it would have to take a team to come in with an offer sheet. And I think what happen would, if let's say if Sacramento goes out and maybe gets Nikola Vucevic and then they renounce Cauley-Stein, that puts them on the unrestricted market. But I think if you line both players up unrestricted, I think Cauley-Stein would get more of an offer there.
Wow!
Damn.
Wow, how the mighty have fallen.
That's where we're at.
Oh my God.
Hey, last one for you, Bobby. Kevon Looney, how do you see that playing out? I mean, we know he's due a raise without question. I mean, he laid it all on the line in the finals. We know that teams will have interest in him, but the Warriors have his bird rights. How much do you think the Warriors would realistically be expected to pay Kevon Looney to retain his services?
I think you have to have the realistic. He's not a minimum anymore, certainly. I think he's probably in that $5 to $7 million range right now. And I don't know if you can afford to lose him, because if you lose him, then you basically replace him with a minimum player. And I know if you're willing to pay $70 million in two players that are going to sit out the year, and I know the luxury tax will go through the roof, then here's a guy that basically, you know, I mean, you could have made the argument that maybe he shouldn't have played for the betterment of his future, right?
Right.
In those finals there. And I think that's kind of where I think, you know, on the unrestricted market, kind of a glue guy, more of not a stats, you know, stuff, you know, it's more of the eye test versus the analytics. But I think his range is somewhere in that 5 to 7 range.
All right. I just want to talk to him for the rest of the show, but I can't. We got to let him go. We got to let him have a day. It's Father's Day, for goodness sakes. He's got things to do. Bobby, thanks so much for all your insights into this. This is going to be, it's a wild week for you, right? This whole week is going to be wild for you, isn't it? You and everyone over
busy.
There. Yeah.
Should be busy through, I don't even know, mid-July.
we'll
got all August to rest, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll
all
be following
August.
You, Bobby. Thank you, man. You're awesome.
No, wait, when are the World Championships? September or August?
I think they are, they're September this year, and I think that's why. I think training camp will probably get pushed back in the, I think it's like the 5th to the 19th or around there, and I think it will get pushed back, and the start of season likely gets pushed back a little bit too, yeah.
Sounds great. All right, Bobby Marks, thank you so much for your time and your insights. It's fabulous stuff as always, and we hope we can bother you again sometime in the near future. Okay, pal?
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Wow, what a nice guy.
Yeah, and shout out Ryan Williams for booking up Bobby. That's the second time in a couple weeks he's had him on. This is the perfect time of year to have Bobby Marks on.
Unbelievable stuff. We will then chew it all up now. We got to take a break. And
we've
got to
step aside, Coach.
We got to step aside.
All right.
We come back. We'll give you an update on what Team USA is doing to Chile.
Coach's team, Chile?
To my new team.
If you're just joining us, Coz renounced his citizenship earlier and said he's rolling with Chile. How's that working out
for
you?
I like a sea bass. I like a Chilean
sea bass. Nice Chilean sea bass. It is good. Yeah,
exactly. That is quality work. A
little Spanish rice with it. Yeah.
Exactly. Let me tell you, the woman, lady, girl, I don't know what adjective to use or descriptive.
Woman?
Woman. Because if you say girl, then everyone says you're sexist. I'm not sexist at all. I could be the father of most of these kids.
The United States women's national team.
The woman who does the set pieces and corner kicks?
Yeah.
She's phenomenal. She lays it right on the six every time.
Benders.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
She's fabulous. And Zach Ertz's wife.
Julie Ertz, yeah.
Did you see her header for a goal?
Yeah.
That was a bazooka off her head. Like it gained steam off her head.
U.S. women's team ain't playing around, Coz. Ask Thailand.
Good Lord, they're good. We're going to step aside and we'll talk about what Bobby Marks just gave us. Plus, we'll get some more comments. Maybe we'll hear from LeVar Ball. We haven't heard from him in a while.
I can't wait.
We got to weigh in with LeVar on the line. I'm calling this the Lonzo Ball trade. Others call it the Anthony Davis trade. It's all next with Covey and Coz tomorrow on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Hope you enjoyed Bobby Marks on the Dial Pad guest line. That guy is a freak show of knowledge. I'm most intrigued that if they were both unrestricted free agents, Boogie Cousins and Willie Cauley-Stein, it's Willie Cauley-Stein who would get the better deal.
Yeah, that's just crazy. But he's younger. He doesn't have the injury history of DeMarcus Cousins at this point, and Willie Cauley-Stein doesn't have a track record like DeMarcus Cousins of being a malcontent. I think Boogie went a long way this year towards rehabbing his physical being, even though he had the big setback with the torn quad, but also how he's perceived. in NBA circles. But look, we all watch the NBA Finals, and it's not fair to DeMarcus to indict him around that because, I mean, the guy came back off a freaking torn quad. He wasn't supposed to play, and then all of a sudden he's back. So you tip the cap, you know, for him for playing, and he wanted that title bad, but he didn't look great this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's coming back from tough stuff.
And they're big guys. Yeah. The rehab's harder for them. There's just no question.
And let me just say this about DeMarcus Cousins. I have maintained, and I've said this on this station for a number of months, if he wanted to, when he was healthy, if he wanted to lead the league in scoring, he would. And the next year, if he wanted to lead the league in rebounding, he would. And I think he's so talented that if he wanted to lead the league in assists, he could do that.
Yeah.
He's that good of a distributor if you run the offense through him. He could be because I think Arvydas Sabonis was one of the greatest big men in the game, and that's going back a few years.
I got you.
And we only got to see the second half of Sabonis after his Achilles injury. I saw some old Soviet League tapes where he was playing, and I don't even know if it was Soviet League or if
smuggled into the country.
Smuggled into the country.
Right.
The stuff he was doing was otherworldly. Like when he was at his prime, there was no player on the planet like Arvydas Sabonis. And I think DeMarcus Cousins had the ability to be some of that. But these injuries have just, God, what a horrible thing to have happen.
Yeah, and you're gutted for him in many respects. I mean, you know, he's obviously a pro athlete. He's made a ton of money. But he's just, from a skill set standpoint, I don't know if he's ever going to be able to come anywhere near what he was. I mean, he's still only 28.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which, look, in theory, he could have a good 5 years of quality NBA service ahead of him. You just, at this point, with the Achilles and then the torn quad and the other injuries he's had before that, you just wonder how efficient he's going to be. But, I mean, you look at what he did that year in New Orleans, Coase, when he was playing alongside Anthony Davis. They were dominant. I mean, they make the trade for him late in the year, and then through the first 48 games, he's scoring 25 a night. He's blocking shots. He's averaging 13 rebounds a game. I mean, that was DeMarcus Cousins, like, at his peak. He had a partner in crime, a dynamic front court together. And, if you're a GM, like, you roll that tape and you think, damn, I'd like to have that guy on my team. And even in the modern NBA where, you know, I think the big man has been devalued somewhat just with the advent of, you know, all this three-point shooting. But, you know, DeMarcus can still get out on the wing and score and, you know, pull defenders out into that deep water, pull bigs out there. So I think he's got something to offer. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, how fit does he come in next season and how much rehabbing has he done. I just feel like, too, Coase, this opens up the door for the Warriors, and I know that because of the rules, they can only offer him an increase in that mid-level exception. There's a cap to what they can offer DeMarcus Cousins to stay here. It's a one-year deal worth like $6.4 million. But if he's not getting those $10, $12, $15 million options or, you know, opportunities out there, it's plausible, right? And look what they can offer him next year. Like a fully rehabbed DeMarcus Cousins, they're going to need that scoring. You don't have Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson. Like, you got to score. And we love Draymond Green. He's a great facilitator. He's awesome with the ball in his hands. I think Steph's more than capable of averaging, you know, 30-plus points a game next year.
How much is he going to load manage next year?
Well, you have to, right? I mean, on some level. I mean, all these guys, Draymond, Steph, Boogie. Because, look.
If Boogie's back.
Right. Well, and especially with the Dubs, with guys like Draymond and Curry, this is five straight years of playing two more months of extra basketball more than any other player in the NBA. And I'm not going to just say that's why it all caught up to him. I mean, it was just two freak injuries, but everybody got nicked up, right?
Yep.
And it's too much to ask. And so you wonder how much they're going to want to ride Curry and Draymond next year. You know, there's the Chase Center factor where, hey, we don't want to put some stale product out there. We want to hit the ground running. Joe Lacob didn't have that barn built to roll in there and just lay down for a year and punt on a season. But at the same time, knowing that 2019-2020 is ostensibly a lost cause as far as a championship, what are you gonna pound Steph into the ground and have him play, you know, 78 games next year? I mean, I don't see that.
Probably gonna play every home game though.
I would imagine
you got a new barn.
Sure,
you ain't gonna load manage at home, baby.
I feel it, but as far as it applies to DeMarcus Cousins, there is an opportunity for him to come back to this team and be a huge part of it, do a ton of scoring next year, and he could really help this team, you know, be a, you know, 5 seed, 6 seed, something like that. I think that's still totally plausible. And Cousins, if he decides to stick around, could have a huge role. But you heard Bobby Marks and even Mark Medina said the likelihood of Cousins being like their first choice, probably not very high.
Help me out real quick.
Sure.
Because the Warriors in the first round took 6 games to defeat the Clippers.
Correct.
Then against the Rockets, was it 5 or 6?
6, baby. Game 6 in Houston was the game.
Okay, 6 games. And they swept the Blazers.
Correct.
And then it was a
six-gamer against Toronto.
So you have 18-4, 22 playoff games they played this year.
Sure.
Going into this year, the 4 years prior to this year, they had played 83 total playoff games.
Right.
That's a full season in 4 years. Then they added another quarter of a season plus this year.
Right.
So they've played a season and a quarter more basketball in 5 years than every other body in the NBA.
Correct. And the only other team or person that had been through that was LeBron James. But guess what? He shut it down early this year. So he's rested heading into 2019-2020.
Yeah. He comes back a little bit, maybe with a little bit more juice.
Do you think?
Yeah, yeah,
for
think
sure.
Right. Let's get some phone calls. We have neglected the phone numbers and the text lines and all that stuff. 888.
Throw it out there, baby.
I'm doing an awful job of leading
today.
888-957-9570. Let me say that again. 888-957-9570. And if you want to hit us on the Chilton Autobody text line, we always invite you to do that at 95795, Covey and Cozumel, and Emmanuel in San Francisco. Manuel! What's going on, Emmanuel?
Very well. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to everybody.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
Thank you very much. So, anyway, I think you guys are killing DeMarcus Cousins by making it look like he's nobody. He's one of the best centers in the NBA right now.
You think so now? Even injured, you think?
He had 8 assists in one game. How many people you find in the NBA at any position get an 8 assist? Even when he couldn't move, he's still one of the best players in the NBA. One of the best centers, I should say. And so I don't think he's going to play for $6 million. That's just talking to him.
So do you think there's a big market for him?
I think there's a big market for him, even when he's injured, because people recognize him when he's healthy. You know, his mobility and his ability to see the court. I mean, his IQ is up there, LeBron James. So even if he couldn't run and jump, he would still be extremely useful in offense. I mean, the Warriors ran an offense through him for a few possessions. If they did that for a whole season, he could average, 16-8-8. That's very difficult to find in the NBA. That's all I think.
I kind of agree with, I might even agree with the numbers you give him. Emmanuel, thank you very much. I am not going to question his talent.
Oh, the guy's got talent in spades.
But the injury scenario of how much you can play him is the thing that I would have to question.
Right, and I think we saw...
Guess on.
Well, and when he came back from the injury, too, I think because he was a kind of a defensive liability, teams were attacking him, and he was taking fouls, he was fatigued, he was taking reaching fouls. And again, I don't want to turn this into crush DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins laid it on the line coming back the way he did off that torn quad. When he tore the quad, it was, hey, he's done for the playoffs. He came back, and he gave it everything he had. He only had so much, and he had a couple of big-time moments in the NBA Finals. He did. I was, I don't like saying, I'm proud of this player, but I admired the way DeMarcus Cousins came back.
I agree.
I developed a new level of respect for DeMarcus Cousins.
I agree.
I'm not hating on him, but this is a business, right? And how much are you going to be willing to pay a guy?
With
there's so much uncertainty. Now, we heard from Bobby Marks that he expects there to be a very active market for Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is a different player. I mean, this is a two-time finals MVP. Could you imagine this, Coz? This is what I was thinking. Because the rest of the NBA can offer KD 4 years, $164 million, right?
Right.
But you're getting KD 1 year removed. You know, 1 year, it's going to be a flyer on the Achilles, and you don't really know who you're going to get back. So basically, you're getting Kevin Durant for 3 years at $54 million a year. If you do 164 divided by three, because you're going to get 3 years of service, you're paying $54 million a year for 3 years of Kevin Durant. You don't get him for the first year, and he's post-Achilles surgery, post-Achilles rehab. How good is he going to be?
But I could sell those sweet, stay true, easy buckets T-shirts and have, after San Francisco, it's say New York.
Yeah.
New York City, the Apple. What would he put under there? The Apple, or do you think he'd put the name of the city?
Yeah, boy, I don't know. That's a good question. Probably just maybe the Apple.
The Apple?
The Apple.
That's what I would do. If I were to sign in New York, I'd just put the Apple. That would be on my driver's license.
Yeah, I never would sign anything in New York.
Where do you live? The Apple.
Yeah, I just, no thanks. I'll stay here in California. Okay, New York's got nothing for me. You been out there?
I'm sure
you have, but like you enjoy it out there?
Yeah, I enjoy visiting, but
I thought you were moving to Chile anyway.
I'm going to Chile. I've renounced my citizenship. Oh, by the way, it's you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. It's a radio.com sports station.
Yay, yay.
Ryan Covey and Jim Cosimore. The Lakers are set to have only $23.7 million in cap space because the Anthony Davis trade is expected to go through July 6th instead of July 30th. Maybe the people at ClutchSports.com were listening to the Ryan Covey and Jim Cosimore interview with Bobby Marks.
There you go.
Maybe that's how they got that information.
You're welcome.
Because we broke it down. For those of you who are pedestrian and want to call this the Anthony Davis trade, I shun you. I push you off to the side because we all know that the biggest nugget in this entire deal isn't the number four pick in the first round this year, and it's not any of the other slugs that were
part of it.
It's not. It's a guy by the name of Lonzo Ball. He is going to be the best player in this particular trade.
Stop.
Would you like to hear from the man who spawned Lonzo?
Not really, but we're going to do it
Levarsky,
anyway.
My man LeVar, who's
big
back in
of-
the big ball of brand, baby. Let's hear from LeVar what his thoughts were when he found out that his son was getting dealt to the Big Easy.
But like I said, I guarantee, like I say again, it'll be the worst move the Lakers ever did in their life, and they'll never win another championship. Guaranteed.
Are they going to regret this trade?
They're going to regret it. I'm going to have fun with it. Because I told y'all it was crashing down. I gave him a chance. You can rewind it and go back. And I said, if you get the three ball brothers, you're going to survive this. You let them go, oh, it's going to be a cold day in hell.
Wow. Hmm. What does that mean?
Ball control.
The guy is delusional. He's a salesman. I mean, that's all he is. He's trying to sell shoes.
And he's like a used car salesman.
Right.
He's not selling Mercedes.
Snake oil salesman.
He's not selling Maybachs.
No.
You know.
He's selling like broke down Cutlasses with like two hubcaps.
And he's rolling the odometer back.
Well, you know, at some point we all heard about the Ball brothers, this and that, but like at some point you got to get the results, right? And I know Lonzo, I think Lonzo's still going to be a good player. He needs to work on that jump shot, but I don't think Lonzo's going to be a great player. I think Lonzo's going to be a serviceable NBA point guard. He'll have his moments, but and we'll see what happens in New Orleans and with Zion, et cetera, and how he coexists. But I honestly, like at some point, that stakes got to match the sizzle, right? And
I'll give you it. Here's a good example, right? Another point guard taken in the same draft. Who would you rather have, Lonzo Ball or De'Aaron Fox?
I'm going De'Aaron Fox without question.
I don't even think anyone
Not even
blinks
close.
An eye.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox all day, twice on Father's Day Sunday.
There you go. You want to get some phone calls?
Let's do it.
Let's get Jason in San Jose down on the hoe. What's going down there, Jason? Welcome in on a Father's Day. You're on 95.7 The Game. What do you want to see happen with DeMarcus Cousins?
DeMarcus Cousins. I'd like to see DeMarcus Cousins stick around, and hopefully they put him on that Draymond Green diet and get him nice and healthy and fit, and I'd like to see him rehab.
You know, it's interesting you say about that Draymond Green diet. Draymond Green, with, 20 games to go, decided to lose 20 pounds because he knew they were going to have a long playoff run. He might not have that luxury next year. You might have to be fit and fiddle, ready to go from day one.
I think based on all the drama and the twists and turns of this postseason, Coz, it was there's going to be a rallying of the troops, right? There's going to be their resolve's really going to get tested. But what do we know about this group? Like, that's when they're at their best, when that resolve gets tested. So I think they'll use that as a war cry. I think Draymond Green rolling into October is going to be like, we're opening up the Chase Center. That'll give them kind of a lift, right?
Mm-hmm.
And collectively, the rest of the NBA is basically, they're looking to contradict rumors of their demise, right? And so I think that they'll take that as a personal challenge, and that's going to have to be spearheaded by a guy like Draymond Green. He's going to have to take that as a personal insult that the rest of the NBA is counting them out. And if he does it like...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.